Chapter 36 A Dropped Ripe Melon. Buck had made up his mind that any more time spent thinking about Miss Anderson would be a waste of effort on his part. Then something happened that changed both their opinions. It was 2 weeks after the picnic, and Buck had not been back into town. He felt that he had brooded over Little Miss Fancy Pants long enough. Buck was in need of some female companionship. Other young women in town did not seem to mind his company. Some even enjoyed it. This night Eve stayed after class to grade papers. She seldom worked this late. She did not like to walk home alone after dark. Wilsonville still had some rough characters that hung around town. They worked part-time for the local farmers, but spent most of their time drinking. Two of these young drunkards were walking toward her as she made her way home. She saw them and crossed to the other side of the street. Her father would usually come and meet her if she worked this late. He did not come this evening, and she wished now that he had. Although Mr. Anderson was up in years, his life, spent as the town's blacksmith, had forged his body into one mass of muscles. No one messed with him. Even these young toughs knew better. She always felt safe by her father's side, no matter how dark the night. The realization that these men had crossed to her side of the street and were now heading straight for her interrupted any further thoughts of her father. She quickened her pace, but the two men intercepted her just as she passed her father's stable. Each grabbed an arm and then pushed her inside, into the darkness of one of the empty stalls. One man had clamped his hand tightly over her mouth, while the other tore at the buttons on her blouse. Eve knew what these men wanted, and she was determined not to let them have their way. She bit down hard on her abductor's hand, causing him to remove it just long enough for her to emit a scream. The other man quickly backhanded her into stunned silence. She almost lost consciousness from the blow. But through the fog in her mind, she saw a third attacker standing in the doorway of the stable. Then both men released their hold on her, and she collapsed to the ground. From this new vantage point, she realized now that this new arrival had come to her rescue and was struggling with her would-be rapists. She had no way of knowing in the darkness that it was Buck, or that he had just ridden into town when he heard her cry for help. Buck did not want to use his pistol for fear of hitting the woman in the darkened stall. Just when his opponents were about to overpower him, Buck heard the clank of something metal crashing into one of his attacker's skull. The man dropped to the floor as if shot. Seeing his partner fall took all the fight out of the other man, and he quickly retreated toward the door. As he was about to make good his escape through the stable entrance, a sudden vice-like grip on his throat halted his flight. Mr. Anderson had been on his way to walk Eve home when he heard her cry. He now held his daughter's struggling attacker at arm's length. The toes of his captive's boots were barely touching the ground. Then, with his free hand, Mr. Anderson struck a match and lit the lantern that hung by the door. He quickly surveyed the situation. Buck was now standing guard with pistol drawn over the downed attacker in case the man regained consciousness. Eve was holding the shovel tightly with both hands and was bleeding from her lip. Her body still trembled with fright. Seeing her father, she now felt protected and her fear turned to anger. She walked straight over to the man her father held and kicked him in the privates, as she had seen Buck do the big Swede. She then threw down her weapon and stormed out of the stable. From over her shoulder, she told Buck and her father to
take those damn bastards to jail.
This was rather strong language for such a delicate flower. Her near-rape experience and sore lip had flushed all that proper ladylike training out of her for the moment. The man Buck was guarding came to as Eve was leaving. He looked at Mr. Anderson and said angrily as he rubbed the bump on his head,
"You ain't always going to be around to protect that little bitch, old man. One of these nights, she might just get her pretty little throat cut."
From the way that he said it, Mr. Anderson knew this foul thing and his partner meant to do Eve harm the first chance they got. The charges he and his friend were facing would not buy them much jail time, a month or two at the most. Mr. Anderson threw the man he had been holding to the ground next to his friend. Then both men continued to make threats as to what they intended to do to Eve. The vein in Mr. Anderson's temple started to pulsate as his blood pressure increased along with his anger. His hands tightened into two massive clenched fists. Buck realized from the murderous look in Mr. Anderson's eyes that these men had driven this father too far with their taunts. He calmly walked over to the shovel Eve had dropped and slowly picked it up, turned as if to put it away, but instead brought it crashing down on the head of the nearest man on the ground. His skull split as if it were a dropped ripe melon. Mr. Anderson would never let these two creatures ever harm his daughter again. Mr. Anderson's brutal attack distracted Buck for a moment, causing him to lower his gun. The second man, knowing that he would be the next to feel the old man's deadly wrath, pushed Buck aside. He then grabbed the pitchfork that was leaning against the far wall and charged at Mr. Anderson's back. His actions left Buck with no other option but to shoot him in the back of the head as he was about to thrust the pitchfork into Mr. Anderson. The force of the bullet entering his brain made him flip head over heels in midair and fall onto his dead partner's now bloody body. Soon the stable's sawdust floor was drenched in a large pool of blood and bits of brain. Hearing footsteps coming at a dead run down the wood plank sidewalk, Buck quickly placed the pitchfork back in the man's hand that he had just shot and the hammer in the hand of his friend. Now it looked as if this had been a clear case of self-defense. Moments after these items were in place, several townsfolk who had heard the shot ran to the stable to see what had happened. They all stopped short in the doorway and just stared at the carnage. Most had never seen a man shot to death before. The exit wound in the one man's face and the other man's crushed head made for an unforgettable ghoulish scene. Soon the fat sheriff rushed in, out of breath from the jog from his office. Doing all the talking, Buck explained what had happened. Most of what he said was actually true. He had merely slanted the story a bit in his and Mr. Anderson's favor so as to not get Mr. Anderson charged with murder. Luckily, the blacksmith just nodded in agreement when the sheriff asked him if that was how it all came about. He was still too stunned to speak. This was obviously the first man he had ever killed and would most likely be his last. Killing someone can lay heavy on your soul. A fact Buck knew all too well.